We're going to begin in Matthew chapter 6, but let us pray first. Lord, we're so thankful for your many blessings. Lord, I'm so thankful for the many children that are here today. Father, I pray now that your anointing would just be upon me. Lord, that every word spoken this morning would be in accordance with your will, and that you'd speak to every heart here. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 is where we're going to begin. Jesus teaching how to pray. There's one main part here that I really want us to discuss this morning. Matthew 6, 9, it says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And this is what I want to talk about this morning, is God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, how many of us really feel comfortable, really feel confident with praying, "Thy will be done, Lord. Thy will be done." Do we trust God enough to pray, "Thy will be done," for our lives, for your lives, for our children's lives, for everything going on in our country? And sometimes I get frustrated. Sometimes I get fretful. Sometimes I get anxiety. Sometimes I get fear. And I have to stop and say, "God, do I really trust you or not? Do I really trust thy will being done?" You know, there's a lot of things in my mind, and I've had in the last couple weeks some big decisions to make and life changing decisions to make, and I'm praying and asking God for His will to be done, but then I'm going, "But do I really trust? Do I really stop and throw out the fleece of Gideon and throw out the fleece and say, 'God, answer in this way or this way, and I'll know what to do,' but then when he answers, do I trust that he's really answering? Do we really trust and say, 'Thy will be done, God,' and expect it to happen?" Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in a future." Okay, when I read that verse, sign me up. "Thy will be done, God. Plans of hope and a future. Plans of prosperity. Yeah, God, that sounds great. Sign me up." But is that how life always is? And especially when you're living for the Lord. He knows the plans He has for us. Prosper, not to harm us. Of hope and a future. That all sounds great, but what when you're not in a time of prosperity? What when you're not in a time where you feel like you have much hope? What happens when you're in these situations and you just don't know what to do? Can you pray, "Thy will be done, God," when you're going through the storms of life? Matthew 26, verse 36. If you want to go there, I'm going to read about 10 verses here. Matthew 26, verse 36. "Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.' He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said, 'My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me.'" Have any of you ever felt that way? The sorrow and the pain and the hurt. And "God, I don't know what to do. My life's falling apart, or things are falling apart, or just the sorrow inside." But then you step back and say, "Thy will be done, God." Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." He knows, Jesus knows that he's going to be facing the cross. He knows what he's going to be facing. And he's in anguish, overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Yet He says, not as I will, but You will. Church, do you see the difference here? Plans to prosper you, plans to give you hope and a future. And we all want to sign up for that. But when it's hard and life is hard, can we really step back and say, God, not my will, but Your will be done. And then trust that God's will is being done in our lives, just as Jesus did. Verse 40, then He returned to His disciples and found them sleeping. You know, have any of you ever been going through something and you got friends or family and maybe they're not physically sleeping, but it's like they don't care. They don't get it. You're in the middle of something, but how come nobody else is upset about this like I am? How come nobody else, it doesn't seem like a big deal to them, but it's a very big deal to me? Have any of you ever felt that? Like, nobody else is getting this, but I'm in all this anguish, I'm in all this hurt, and I think that's what Jesus was feeling. He returned and they're asleep. He said, could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour, He asked Peter. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Can I tell you something? In God's will be done. I think that's key for each one of us. Pray. Pray. Pray that you will not fall into temptation. Because what can happen so often is that we all know we got an enemy, right? And he's trying to lead us down the wrong path. He's trying to lead us in a different direction. And even though our body may be willing, or even though our spirit may be willing, that the body is weak sometimes. And sometimes we get off path. Sometimes we mess up. So that's where we need to pray. We need to pray. And that's what Jesus was doing when He's facing this. He's praying. He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may Your will be done." Once again, He's praying. And He's saying how much He would love for this to be taken away from Him. But not His will, but the Father's will be done. Church, do we trust God enough today in every area of our life to pray, "Thy will be done"? God, let Your will be done. Even if it's hard. Even if it's tough. Yeah, the hope, the prosperity and all that, I'm all for that. God, I want the promotion. I want the Leave It to Beaver family. I want all the wonderful things, but God, don't give me the tough part. Thy will be done. Verse 43, when He came back, He again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. It's so like our friends and family and people that we love and care about. It seems that when we're going through something, that it's just not as important to them. But can I tell you something? It is important to our Lord. It is important to our Lord. And so He left and He went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. What was He saying? Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Then He returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." In one of the Gospels, it's in Luke. It says, "And being in anguish, He prayed more earnestly, and His sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground." But Your will be done, God. Your will be done. When the sweats were like drops of blood, and being in anguish to the point of death, but to trust God, to trust God, even when it's hard, even when things seem like they're falling apart. Luke 9:23, then He said to them all, Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Taking up your cross and denying yourself and following God's will, that's what he says that we should do daily. And that is saying, not my will, but thy will be done. Taking up your cross and saying, not what I desire, what I want, but God, what do you desire? What do you want? Your will being done, even when it involves discipline. You know, sometimes discipline's hard, and sometimes we're like, huh, discipline? God disciplines? Hebrews 12:5 says, and you have forgotten the words of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. See, I wonder sometimes if we're going through a storm in our life because it's a discipline. And it's God trying to make us into the man or woman that He wants us to be. It's God trying to shape and form our personalities and our lives and making us into the holy people that He's called us to be, a royal priesthood. But we don't always recognize it as that. Verse 7 says, endure hardship as disciple or as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and are not true sons. You know, sometimes in my life, when things are going so smooth, I wonder, God, is something up? Is something up that I'm not living my life the way that I should because I'm not facing any kind of troubles, any kind of trials? Because, God, I know that there needs to be some discipline in my life. Moreover, verse 9, moreover, we have all had human fathers who discipline us and we respect them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our Father disciplines us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. I don't know if I'm going too fast or not. Maybe I need to slow down just a minute, but thy will be done. Jesus knew that He was facing the cross. And He submitted to His Father's will. Why? Because He loved His Father so much and because He loved you and me so much. Without that cross, without that shed blood on the cross, where would we be today? Here, do you ever stop when you're going through a hard time in your life? Do you ever stop and say, is there something in my life that needs to change? Is there something in my life that I need to get out? No discipline seems pleasant at the time. Nobody likes going through discipline. I didn't like spankings when I was little. But those spankings made me think, maybe I ought to not do those same things again because I don't want any more spankings. We ever stop and say, Lord, are you trying to show me something? Are you trying to teach me something? No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. See, we can sit and we can whine and cry about things in our life and problems and struggles and trials. Or we can sit back and say, Thy will be done, Lord. Show me Your way. Teach me Your paths of righteousness. Show me what I need to learn. Show me what I need to do. Or, oh, woe is me. Everything's falling apart and this and that's happening. And do we truly accept the Lord's discipline and accept Thy will be done? 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says, it is God's will that you should be sanctified. You know all the little kids going back in the back and anybody that's ever had children. And do you have to teach your children to do wrong? No. They're going to do wrong. But do you have to correct them and teach them to do right? Yeah. That's what you do as a parent. And it's sad, the state of our world and our society now is it seems like parents are doing it less and less, but your kids need discipline. They need correction. They need told the path that they need to go on, not to touch the electrical outlet, not to, you know, touch a hot stove, not to, you know, run out in the middle of the street. You teach them those things. You do those things. You're training them. And the Lord saying, my discipline will produce righteousness in you. And here it says, it is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable. Are we learning? Are we disciplined enough to learn to control our bodies? Not in passionate lust like the heathens who do not know God. And that in this matter, no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for all such sins. We, as we have already told you and warned you, for God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God who gives you his Holy Spirit. You see what that says? God did not call you to be impure, but to live holy. You know, sometimes we get so messed up with what God's will is. Thy will be done, what God's will is. And we're living in so much sin, we're living in so much garbage, and then we wonder how what God's will is, what God's will is. Well, you know, maybe we're not finding out what God's will is because we're not in God's will, because we're living in so much sin and so much garbage. Flip over to 1 Thessalonians 5:14, and it says, "And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle." Okay, so, well, I'm going to back up. Halfway through 13, it says, live in peace with each other. That's part of God's will, to live at peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle. You know, if you're not doing anything for the kingdom of God, if you're not doing anything in your relationship with God, this is your warning. You better get busy finding out what God wants you to do. I'm not telling you that you're supposed to be a preacher, that you're supposed to be a Sunday school teacher, that you're supposed to be a children's church minister. I'm not telling you what your job is, but all of us, God has a task for us to do. It may be that you're sitting at home at night praying for me. I appreciate it if you are. But we shouldn't. You know, if I come home from work, And you know, Crystal said, well, what'd you do today? Well, I sat in the break room and had two bags of popcorn, a candy bar, and a Coke. She'd say, did you even work today? No, I sat in the break room. You know what? I don't even think I'd make it through a whole day. And they'd say, get to work or go home. I'd be fired. Warn those who are idle. Y'all take that however you want. Warn those who are idle. Encourage the timid. You know, I think all of us probably struggle with some form of being a little bit timid. Would you guys agree with that? I'm a big mouth, and I even struggle with being timid sometimes, of knowing when to say what and how to say it. Trust the Holy Spirit's leading you, okay? Trust, thy will be done. And when God says to speak, when God says to move, when God says to be quiet, follow the Holy Spirit. Help the weak. Brother or sister struggling, a brother or sister that's having a rough time, are we there? Are we helping them? This is all God's will. Be patient with everyone. Oh, that's a tough one. Especially if you went on tax-free weekend yesterday, huh? It's hard to be patient with everyone. I failed last night. Okay, I'll tell you. We went late. We went late thinking, oh, everybody's going to be gone. We went to Academy. Okay, it's a mess. But not, there's still a few people there, but it's not that bad. So I ask a worker, I'm looking for a certain shoe size. Can you scan this and tell me if there's any more in stock? He said, I'm helping this person right now. You'll be next. We stood there for 10 minutes. And I'm standing there, keep looking at this guy, keep looking at this guy. He's looking, he's trying to help this guy find boots. Then another guy comes over to him and he says, I'll help him, you go help these people. And he took off the opposite direction. I've been standing there for 10 minutes, patiently waiting. I lost my patience. I walked around the corner and I seen another worker and I said, can you help me? Yeah, I'm doing this. And I said, well, that's what this last guy just said, and I was supposed to be next, and I've been waiting 10 minutes, and he still hadn't helped me. And I said it loud enough for him to hear me. And as soon as I said it, I said, Pete, you're such a jerk. Why did you have to say that? I've been standing there, waiting, patiently. What was coming out, though, was the impatient person that I am. That's not God's will. That's not what the characteristic that God wants coming out of me. Would you guys agree with that? God wants me to be patient. He wants me to be loving. But sometimes I need those moments, I guess, like last night, to say, Pete, you hadn't arrived. You're not there. There's still work to do on you. I've not arrived. I still have work to do, but God help me that I can get better from this learning experience of standing there waiting on this guy. That next time I'll even be more patient. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong. Driving, cutting people off, doing different. We all have different things where we could pay back wrong for wrong, but we're not supposed to be like that. May thy will be done. But always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. See, that's God's will, is for that kindness to come out. And then verse 16, be joyful always, pray continually, giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Okay, I got to admit, okay, you guys paying attention or are we asleep? Giving thanks in all circumstances, maybe we need to do a Bible study on that, but I can't explain it. I really can't. Giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's hard. That's really hard to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. That's probably a deeper study than I can give you right now. But all I can tell you is maybe a little surface, a little skim of that, is let's begin to say, God, thank you. May thy will be done in my life in every circumstance. Maybe you're in the middle of a storm. Maybe you're in the middle of a trial. And Lord, help me, because I really don't want to get off on this. You can get into Job. You can get into the enemy. What did Jesus warn Peter? He said, Satan wishes to sift you. You know, we have an enemy. We have an enemy that's attacking us. And you can get into all these different theological things. And is this God's will or is this not God's will? Is this Satan or is this God? And I don't have the answer on every circumstance that everybody's going through. Candy was just sharing a story with me about her sister-in-law. It breaks my heart, the life that this lady has lived. But she's still going. I don't understand. And I told Candy that. I don't even understand. I can't understand. But do we trust God or not? That's what it really boils down to. Do we trust God? Can we say, God, my life is in your hands. May thy will be done. Giving thanks in all circumstances and saying, God, I trust you. Sometimes it's confusing, and sometimes there's areas in our life that we just don't know. But do we really trust God? Can we really trust God and say, thy will be done? Romans 12, 1 and 2. Says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. You know, maybe you're at the point that you say, God, thy will be done. But you say, Pete, I really am praying that His will be done, but I really don't know what His will is. Maybe this is a verse that you need to take from today. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Maybe, and we're to live as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. We see all these things of holiness and righteousness and not conforming to the pattern of this world. And then we will be able to test and approve what God's good and perfect will is. Maybe there's a point in your life right now that you're saying, I don't know which way to go. I'm confused. Maybe you need to be praying and saying, God, help me to cleanse this body of mine. Help me to cleanse this mind of mine that I can have the mind of Christ, that I will know your will. Does that make sense to everyone? And maybe we just need to get some of the garbage out of our life, and maybe that's the confusion. Because we're getting the influences of the world, we're getting the influences of the doctors and psychologists or the teachers and our professors or even our coworkers, that none of them are walking in sync with the Lord and with the Holy Spirit. And so we're so confused about what to do. And maybe this is a moment that we just need to say, God, give me your mind. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Thy will be done. He will make your path straight. But it's when you trust in Him with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. See, in my understanding, I get messed up. I get confused. Things don't make sense. But when I submit to Him in His ways, He will make my path straight. Can I tell you what I really believe God's will is? For each and every one of you here this morning, God has a will for each one of us. And I believe it's fellowship. That God desires fellowship with each one of you and with me. Genesis 3, 8 and 9 says, and this is when Adam and Eve had sinned, but verse 8 says, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as He was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to the man, where are you? You know, all this talk about holiness and righteousness, you guys might say, Pete, what? You just don't want me to have fun. You just can sin separates us from God, and it separates us from the fellowship with God, and God desires fellowship with man. I believe that. He was walking in the cool of the day in the garden, and He's like, where are you guys? Let's hang out. But sin separates. What were they doing? Because they had sinned, they were hiding. Isaiah 5, 9 and 2 says, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear you. That is why God calls for holiness. That is why God wants us living that righteous life so we can maintain that fellowship with Him. And that's God's will for you and for me, is to have that fellowship with Him. That understanding, that constant relationship. It's funny, I'll do stuff and Crystal will laugh and she'll say, I knew you were going to say that before you even said that. I knew you were going to do that before you even did that. Why? Because she's my wife of 22 years last week, right? 22 years. She knows me. I can't even fool her. I think it was Amy and Kyle's anniversary's Monday, right? Oh, it's today, but Kyle took a day off tomorrow and he was trying to surprise Amy, and Amy knew. Kyle couldn't even surprise her. He couldn't sneak nothing past her. Why? Because they've been married so long, they know each other. Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great to have that with our Father in heaven? God, that fellowship. I know you. You know me. That's what God's will is for us. I believe it with all my heart. You feel so lonely. You feel so isolated. God loves you. He cherishes you. He sent His Son to die on a cross for you, to pay for your sins, so that He could have fellowship with you and with me. I'm not preaching all this holiness just to try and be a downer, just to try and tell you you can't have fun. No, I'm preaching all this holiness because that's what brings you to our Father in heaven. Living that holy and righteous life, because sin separates. Adam and Eve were hiding when they messed up. Isaiah 59, your iniquities have hidden you. They've separated you. God wants fellowship with you. He loves you so much and He cares so much for you. I'm finishing up right here. 2 Peter 3, verses 8. It says, "But do not forget this one thing, dear friend. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promises, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." When we read about idleness and God says warn them, when we read about being timid, encouraging them. Why? Because God wants to use you, and part of His plan of leading those around us to repentance, because God's will is that everyone should come to repentance. That's what we just read. But everyone should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. You know, the only thing that I can compare this to is if you've ever been sitting in a nice, quiet afternoon and all at once lightning strikes, and what happens? Your heart jumps. That's what it's going to be like. It could happen right now. That the Lord is going to come. The Lord is going to come. And verse 11 says, "Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destructions of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with His promises, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of the righteous. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him." He's saying His will is that everyone should come to repentance. His will is for fellowship with you and with me. And He's coming. Are we making every effort? Can I tell you something? A lot of marriages end up in divorce. Why? Because we quit trying. You quit trying. You quit making the effort. It can be a husband stopping. It can be a wife stopping. And then all at once the marriage is there's two strangers living together, they're fighting all the time, and they divorce. It's happening all the time. I don't want your marriage to end. But even more importantly than that, I don't want your marriage to our Heavenly Father to end. Are you making every effort? Are you praying? Are you seeking Him? Are you desiring that fellowship with Him? Because that's His desire for you. That is God's will. That you would have fellowship with Him. If you're confused on something this morning, you don't know which way to turn, if you're confused on the path that you're supposed to be on, pray. And pray earnestly. Pray intently as Jesus prayed. In another one of the Gospels, I think it might be in Luke, it said the angels came to strengthen Him. God has sent His Holy Spirit to strengthen you and me. But are we earnestly seeking Him? Are we earnestly seeking that relationship with Him? And then knowing the mind of Christ, renewing our minds, not with the world, But getting the mind of Christ, and then we'll know which path to take, we'll know what to do, and lean not on your own understanding, even when things don't make sense. There's a lot of things in life that don't make sense to me. But am I acknowledging my Father in heaven, knowing that He will make my path straight? Thy will be done. Not just in hope and prosperity, but Thy will be done even in discipline. For Father, You know what I need to get out of my life. You know the hidden things that nobody else sees. You know where I thought that I'd gotten more patient. My patience ran to about a 10-minute slot and then it was done. I need work. Let's stand. Father, I thank You for Your Word. Lord, I pray for each and every person in here this morning, Father, that if there's some that's faced with a difficult decision, there's some that just feel like they don't know which path to take, Father, that You would grant them wisdom right now. Lord, maybe there's some that it just seems like no matter which way they turn, they're failing, they're messing up, they're going back to the ways of the world. Lord, may they understand right now the importance of repentance first. Confession, repentance, and turning their lives over to You, and then walking in holiness, walking in righteousness, so that we can maintain that fellowship with You. Father, I pray for strength for every believer in this room right now, Lord, that each one of us would look unto You. That each one of us would look unto You to guide our path, Lord, that we would not lean on our own understanding, but we would trust that Thy will be done. God, even when it's hard, even when our hearts are breaking, even when things are falling apart and it doesn't make sense, may we say, Thy will be done. May we truly trust that Your will is being done because we are Your children. God, may You bring peace. May You bring peace in every circumstance. May our faith grow. May our relationship grow. May our trusting in You grow each and every day. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. If you need prayer for anything this morning, and you're struggling with something at home, you're struggling with a decision, or whatever it is, I encourage you to pray. Don't fall asleep. Pray. Altars are open.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious feather.
I really feel like there's someone that's struggling this morning with a decision or something, and maybe you just don't want to come up this morning and to the altar, but you have my phone number, and if you don't have my phone number, let me give it to you before you leave, because I'd love to talk with you and encourage you, pray with you in some way. I'm only a man, and I don't have every answer, but I have a Father that can meet every need and that can answer your questions, and so I encourage you to pray. Pray intently, seeking God. He'll direct your path and trust. Even when things are difficult, trust. Love you, church. Bible study this evening, 6:30. Bridget, thank you for coming this morning and leading us in worship. And so, y'all have a blessed day.